we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ. Celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Acts. Peter began to speak to the Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Amen. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit of God, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for thee. Amen. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Glory to thee. Hallelujah.
I want to start this morning by sharing a little bit of Howard family news with you. After a number of years in the Diocese of Florida, being told regularly that if I wanted a friend, I needed to get a dog, I got a dog. Went up to a monastery in upstate New York, the New Skeet Monastery, run by Orthodox monks and nuns, and stayed in the convent with the nuns and had a retreat. Sister Rebecca sort of picked around inside my head and my spirit and helped me to pray and understand my prayers a little bit better. And I also met with the monks. Now, these New Skeet monks are Orthodox. They are Eastern Russian Orthodox monks. And instead of making wine or fruitcake, they breed and train German shepherds. And have very, very fine dogs. And I brought one of their dogs home. Her name is Nejma, because she belonged to the head of the order before I got her. And he is an Arabic scholar, and the word Nejma means star in Arabic. So my little Nejma is a star. Well, this morning, this preacher, whom I thought would be my new best friend, and I got into a terrible argument during our morning walk. Nejma and I got into an argument this morning because, you see, she was raised as an Orthodox dog. And she thinks that today is Palm Sunday. And so, as I was leaving this morning, patting her on the head, she said, "You go right ahead with your liturgical innovations. I hope you enjoy Easter. I'll get her next Sunday. Don't you worry." Well, every year we come together on this morning and we relish, we bask in, we bathe ourselves in the glories of this great service of worship. The glorious music, the beautiful flowers, your voices, the children's choirs singing, the responses that all of you offer with such great enthusiasm, such joy and life. This is one of the great cathedrals of the Episcopal. And to be here and at worship with you on Easter is one of the great spiritual experiences of life. Thank you. As I do each Easter, let me encourage you once more to take all of this in, to commit this scene to your memory and to engrave it on your heart, to revel in it. Take it home with you as a gift, so that on some cold day when you need it the most, you can pull it out, you can savor it once more, enjoy it, and know that love of God in your life, and know too the promise of eternal life which He has made to you in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. This Easter is different at the cathedral. We have, in recent weeks, experienced those cold and dark days, and we have needed those memories of Easter and those promises of eternal life. We have sorely needed to be reminded of the love of God in the midst of things we cannot understand. We have sorely needed to know His promise of eternal life.
moments such as those we have seen, moments such as those which we still are as a church, as a diocese, living through, come when we least expect them. That's why we need continually to be able to summon up our own affirmations of the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That is why we need to be able in every moment to remember the transforming, healing, and life-giving power of the grace and mercy of God, which we supremely celebrate on this day. Those understandings, that transformative power, all hinge on the story we heard read to us a few minutes ago. The story of the people who had loved and followed Jesus throughout his short ministry. People who had invested their lives in him, their hopes, their futures, their faith, their community. For Jesus' followers, all of this had crashed, burning to the ground with the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Everything that had seemed so good to his followers less than a week earlier had turned to tragedy, had turned to darkness. Sabbath came and the law would not even permit them to travel to the tomb to try to cover the stench of death with spices they had gathered. No, they couldn't do that on Saturday. They had to wait for Sunday morning. It was the only way they could imagine to deal with Jesus' death, attempting to cover it up with smell sweet, to use spices to disguise the stench. Those disciples were like you and like me, tinkering at the edges of death, at the periphery of despair. We know such times, and we recently have shared one such event in which our lives have been filled with darkness and seemingly overcome by death. Moments in which we have been unable to conceive of how to get at the root of our problems. Moments when we've struggled for fundamental understanding and confidence and certainty that transcend our ability to manufacture them on our own. Moments in which we could not find the words to say. What we have learned is that to respond in a meaningful and lasting way, in a way that cures and heals and touches the core of the problems rather than merely bandages and covers over the symptom, learning to do that is a supernatural event. It is a phenomenon originating not within ourselves, and it is not one of our own creation. It comes to us by the grace of God as a gift from on high. So this year, Easter bursts in upon our lives to remind us that God never engages in halfway measures, to remind us that while our tendency, like that of Jesus' other disciples, may be to gather spices to rub on the surface of our problems, do our best to pretend that the problems aren't real, to try to mask the smell of death or failure, brokenness or despair, God does not pretend. God does not engage in cover-up. For while the disciples were opening jars of mint and sassafras, marjoram and oregano and basil, before the women had even thought to ask themselves who they could get to roll the stone away so they could get to the body to apply the spices, God had already rolled the stone away. God had already rolled the stone away and had breathed fresh, cool spring air deep into lungs that had been decaying only moments before. and it was air so invigorating and fresh that even after 20 centuries, you and I come here this morning to breathe it in as deeply as we can. That simple question, who will roll away the stone? It is the deepest question any of us will ever ask. Who will roll away the stone of guilt, the stone of depression, the stone of anxiety, the stone of failure, the stone of addiction, the stone of sickness, the stone of failed relationships, and yes, who will be able to roll away the stone of tragedy, the stone of death itself? The women arrived at the tomb and found the answer to the question. For while the disciples were readying themselves to travel to the tomb, Jesus was already stirring within it, rising, stretching, testing out arms and legs and hands and feet, feeling strength restored and powers renewed, exercising the gifts of new life, of restored vigor, the gifts of resurrection. So it was that when the women got to the tomb, they found not an unmovable stone, but an open door. Not a stench to be covered up, but a new source of hope and of encouragement. Not a tragic and cruelly murdered corpse, but a living man and a source of incredible life. This Easter morning, I address you as your bishop. And I speak also to all in our community and in our world who have so recently known tragic, unexpected, and inexplicable events in the murder of the head of the Episcopal school and the aftermath of that death. And my message to you and to our community is an Easter message. This is not a time for denial. Death is real. This is not a moment for sticky sentimentality and chatter about some longing for the hope of spring. The seasons will change. It is not a message of simply saying better times lie ahead. No, our message this day is that the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ really occurred, was an historical event. Our message this day is of insistence in our conviction that knowing and trusting in the Lord, each of us may come to know resurrection and eternal life in Him. This is the message which He created the church to share with the world. This is the message of new life, of eternal hope, and of salvation, which you and I call gospel. And this is the message which has the power to change lives, to change families and relationships. This is the message which has the ability to change our community, our city, and our world. This, dear brothers and sisters, and this alone is the message which has the power to touch and to heal your heart. It is the core of our faith and of this day that Jesus showed His love for us in that when we least deserved it, He died for us, taking our sin upon Himself, becoming sin for our sake, and rising on the third day, showing to us and to all who will see it the transforming power of pure, unmerited, undeserved love. So I ask you once again in the name of God to cling to this Easter joy and to hold fast to this moment. Hold fast to the resurrected Jesus Christ. He is the center and the source and the very meaning of our lives. He is our history, and He is our future. Alleluia, He is risen.
Lord, is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let us stand to affirm our faith in the risen Lord.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. We give thanks for the life of Louise Ringy. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all victims of violence, especially the victims of violence in our own community, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for peace throughout the world, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the good use of our natural resources, that they may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to serve you here in the heart of downtown. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that they may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. We especially give thanks for the birth of Grayson James Rodman. Risen Christ,
hear our prayer.
For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever.
Amen.
My beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
and also with you. Please be seated. Hallelujah! Christ is risen! Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. Welcome, Bishop Howard. We're so blessed you're here with us today. If you are new or visiting, we would love to welcome you as a regular member of this community. We have little cards in your pews, and if you fill them out, we will send you our e-newsletter, and you can see all that is going on in this church. We welcome all children. And as you can see, we have a new children's choir where children ages 3 and up learn the Royal Church School of Music from the Church of England, and they sing on Sundays at 9 o'clock. All children 7 and under are invited to participate in an Easter egg hunt in Cathedral Park. I see one kid going like this. Great. This is located out this way on Church Street, and we have refreshments as well. All of you are invited to come forward to receive Holy Communion. If you have been baptized, hold out your hands like this for the bread, and you can guide the cup to your lips. If you have not been baptized or from another faith tradition, cross your arms, and we'll give you a blessing. We want you all to come forward. And now, all of our children are invited to come forward, and adults, anyone who brought flowers, and we will flower our cross. remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
hearts.
We give to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with John and all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God has redeemed us and made us his children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.